to The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Mr. Marvellous Martin White has just stuffed a biscuit in his fat face. I was just going to come to you, and now you're chomping on a biscuit, aren't you?
Chomping on a biscuit on a diet.
Just for the avoidance of doubt, anybody out there that knows me really, really, really well, I'm not eating biscuits currently. So that I don't get into trouble.
Are you still dieting?
I am still on a food-restricted diet, yes.
Not working, then?
That was just not called for, was it?
Rude.
It was rude, wasn't it, Lynette? It was rude. And he can talk anyway. Look at the size of him. He fell out of a tree at the weekend. Again.
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, I didn't. I twisted my knee. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, go on, move on.
Without falling out of the tree.
Yeah.
Right, need to give a shout out for our brilliant friends at SNS Solicitors, Gareth.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
He was on the show, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah.
A lovely firm of solicitors based in the heart of Maidstone. They are having a hearty breakfast networking for the heart of Kent Hospice. And it's on Wednesday, the 3rd of April.
Are they?
They are indeed.
Are they?
On Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 10 o'clock in the morning at their offices at Denning House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there, as well as plenty of opportunity for networking, because it's always very, very well attended, there will be a huge spread on offer. I mean, I'm talking huge. So go hungry, people, because you won't go hungry on the day.
Blimey.
Excuse me. Still got that bourbon stuck in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, they're also offering...
The only thing he'd have stuck in his throat.
They're also offering a free consultation with one of their solicitors on the day. So if you have a litigation matter that you want to discuss...
Someone you fancy suing.
Possibly.
There's quite a few, isn't there? There's a lot of choices on Twitter.
It could be litigation. It could be family law. Anything, really. So get yourselves along and get a nice breakfast, some quality networking, and also some free legal advice.
Fantastic.
And there is a booking link on Eventbrite, but it's far too complicated. So have a look on the community page of Supply My Business and book on from there.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I've had a tweet from the lovely Julie Daniel from The Chic Stylist on Twitter, the_chicstylist. She says, Business Bunker, Chic Stylist would love a shout out today, please. I'm hosting my own Style in the City Ladies Masterclass on the 3rd of April in London to learn how to dress for success and impact. Book your free limited ticket on Eventbrite, and it's the Eventbrite link is Style in the City. And she says, thank you for that. I might go to that, actually. Yeah, I need
she's
a makeover.
She's lovely, Julie.
Sorry?
She's lovely, Julie.
She
I
is,
see her,
indeed. Yeah.
Every other week at BBN Maidstone.
Brian's
business networking, so she's and she's always immaculately dressed.
Fantastic.
As you would expect her to be.
Yeah. So 3rd of April in London, a ladies masterclass on dressing for success and impact, Eventbrite / Style in the City. Book it.
One of your sponsors is having another productivity event at the London Club, Oasis.
Fantastic, yeah. Operational Accounting Systems, yeah.
That's it. So, yeah. Bruce and the team there. Mm-hmm. It's on Thursday, the 2nd of May.
Yep.
It's at the London Golf Club. You won't be playing golf, unfortunately, because you will be involved in a construction industry productivity seminar. And the great thing about these seminars, because I went along to their last one, is it's all very practical.
Yep.
So, for example, Linda is there. Linda Garcia, who is a productivity queen and specialist.
She certainly is.
And she'll be showing businesses involved in the construction sector how they can be more productive. In other words, how they can output more with less input.
Cool.
That's the whole point of the day. There'll be other people there as well. There is a training company there called Origin.
Right.
And they'll be showing people how to use software more productively in their business as well. So it's a free event. It's 9 o'clock in the morning till 1:30. It's at the London Golf Club, the beautiful London Golf Club. I should be there on Thursday afternoon. It's on the 2nd of May. There is a booking page on the Oasis website, or again, you can find them on the Supply My Business community page.
Fantastic. See, we've woken everybody up now about the Little Silver Hotel. They're all going to pile over to my place. I just had a tweet from Baldwin's Travel. And I say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, we'd love a shout out, please, for our solo traveller event which is taking place tonight. And for everything you need to know about solo travel, and it's taking place at the Little Silver Hotel in Tenterton. There's still time to book your place, so call our Tenterton office on 01580 764 344 to book, and then you can join us between 6 and 8 p.m. at the Little Silver Hotel in St Michael's Centerton tonight to talk about solo travelling. Or you can follow them on the Twitter. Baldwins Travel is their Twitter handle. They're lovely folks at Baldwins.
I thought you were going to say at the Little Silver Hotel.
They're lovely folks at the Little Silver Hotel as well. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oliver Johnson and the team. They're a really nice man.
I have stayed there myself, actually.
And my neighbours.
Yeah.
They're really nice. They take in my deliveries from Amazon when I'm not there. They're really good.
That is very charitable of them.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Venom Tech have been on. Have a great Business Bunker show. Please give a shout out to our great friends and logistics team, A4P Bio. They're located on the wonderful Discovery Park. They've just shipped spider venom to Australia for us in record time. Next, Coles to Newcastle. I was going to say, you know, haven't they got enough spiders out in Australia?
Yes, they run out.
Yeah, funnel webs, and they all hibernating or something. Yeah. Anyway, so big shout out to A4P Bio, who are specialist logistics shippers for dodgy stuff.
A lot of people like think that's all stereotypical stuff when it comes to Australia, but it's not. It's all actually quite true. The first time I went to Australia, we were looking for somewhere to stay. We just kind of pulled off the highway. It was these sort of cabins in a sort of forest somewhere. We thought, oh, that'll do for the night. We're quite tired. We've been on the road all day. They gave us the key to one of these cabins. We walked up to the front door. There was an enormous spider on the door handle. My wife and I looked at each other. We said, no way. We went back to the reception. We got our money back and we drove on and we found somewhere else to stay.
It's like there was a Facebook post yesterday. Did you see it? It was a guy that was doing high altitude, low opening parachuting. Yeah. So he leapt out of a plane, you know, like just next door to the moon, and didn't open his parachute until he was like 3 feet off the ground or whatever. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but anyway, they videoed it and it was fantastic. And he came to it was in Australia, and he came to a perfect landing. And as he landed, a kangaroo ran up behind him and kicked him.
You couldn't write it.
Yeah. Welcome to Australia.
And they are vicious, those kangaroos. I mean,
he just landed, and next thing you know, the kangaroo's gone bang.
Joe, you were saying you're into your boxing at the moment. You wouldn't stand a chance. You wouldn't go 30 seconds with a kangaroo, believe me.
No.
No, no way.
I won't risk it then.
So you're a boxer, are you?
No. I've been doing some boxing exercising.
Oh, have you?
Boxercise.
My daughter-in-law was a boxer.
Oh?
Yeah, Sophia. Hello, Sophia, if you're listening. Wouldn't get on the wrong side of her.
No. Did she box your ears?
No, she's very sweet to me. Yeah. I'm a favourite father-in-law.
I don't know why. Anyway, we need to give a shout out quickly to Jules and the Slopoff team.
Oh, yeah.
Friday the 5th of April at the Boy and Oyster.
I know something about Jules that you don't.
Okay, well, you have to tell me later.
No, I'll tell you now.
No, I'm in the middle of a Slopoff.
Oh, go on then.
So it's Friday the 5th of April. It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
2:30. Okay.
In the afternoon, if you're feeling up for it.
Yep.
It's at the Boy and Oyster on Margate Seafront. Beautiful restaurant.
Lovely, yeah.
Fish restaurant.
Yeah, they won an award at the Canterbury Awards last week.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. It's three courses for £28. Plenty of networking. I think they serve wine there as well, so there may be a glass or two of wine. In fact, there is a complimentary free drink when you arrive.
Blimey.
And it goes on until you want it to go on till. So,
it's the kind of thing you like, really, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
I really am. So that's Friday the 5th of April at Carp Acacio, or is it Acacio Carp on the Twitter?
It's Acacio Carp on the Twitter. The company name is Carpe Acacio, but they have it the other way around on Twitter.
So that's the lovely Deb Smith at Acacio Carp or at Jewel Circuit on the Twitter. Do book yourselves on for that. Look forward to seeing you there. Sorry, what were you going to tell me about Jewels?
She's got a thyroid problem. She's never mentioned it before.
I'm sure she doesn't want you sharing that.
No,
with
she
the
does. She
business
does.
Bunker
she does. I got 15,000 tweets about it yesterday. At least I counted them all. She's on a warpath about thyroids
at
the moment.
It is a problem, an affliction that affects many women, unfortunately.
It affects many people, and that is one of her things. How many people? And she's introducing me to every single one of them. Okay. Anyway.
Well, I'm sure she'll be delighted.
I'll tell you what, you can read that. One of my pile of emails, okay. And then we're going to talk to our next guest, who's the lovely James.
You mentioned...
Who's sitting there patiently waiting to speak sense.
You mentioned them earlier, ZC Social Media. Mm-hmm. So ZC Live is back. It's on the 31st of May, which is a Friday, I believe.
It is.
And the ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will all be revealed over the forthcoming weeks. You read some of it out earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always a great event. It's a free-to-attend event. There'll be social media tips, marketing tips. I think you can even exhibit there if you want to.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
A good friend of ours, Terry Seller from TIC Media, he'll be exhibiting there alongside a few others. There is an Eventbrite booking link. Please do book on. I mean, they normally have a couple of hundred people at these things.
Oh, I spoke to Zoe a couple of weeks ago, and they haven't announced the lineup of speakers yet, and they've already had 250 people booked.
Right.
And we're over a month away from it yet. So,
so if your business
last year, there were just over 500 people there.
But going back to what we were saying at the beginning of the show, if you feel your business is perhaps lacking a little bit in terms of digital skills, get yourself along for some free training and some free advice on the day. Where's it being helpful?
The Strood Academy.
Strood Academy, which is
where? Strood.
In Strood. Testing.
It's an academy in Strood.
I'm getting mixed up with Longfield, aren't I?
You are. That's an academy that's not in Strood. It's in Longfield.
There before as well. Yeah. So this guy sounds
good. There's a clue in the name.
My knowledge of North Kent is clearly in need of some brushing up. So
Strood's just to the left of Rochester.
Just to the left.
As you look.
Oh, it's not as far as I was thinking. Even more reason to attend. Brilliant. Good.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I'll tell you what, why don't we speak to somebody sensible?
Again.
Again.
Really, don't bank on that.
Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Uber Geek, Fruit Geek, Mr. James Stockdale. James, welcome to the Business Monk Show for the very first time.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And James is all logoed up with his company, Fruit Geek. I'm a fruit person as well. I own a company called Fruitworks and a company called Fruit Bowl Media. So we're on.
That's yours, is it?
Yeah. So we're kind of on the same fruit loop.
And you're a bit of a fruit bat as well, aren't you?
I can be. I've seen a fruit bat in the wild, actually. They're big things, they are. Have you ever seen a fruit bat in the wild? They're massive. About 2 foot long. Hanging
in Australia. We've got them in Australia.
No, I saw them in Malaysia. In Langkawi, actually.
Dropping
at the Tangjang Rui.
Yeah. We have a job to get to, Langkawi.
Anyway, that's not what we were talking about. We want to talk to James. So, James, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about Fruit Geek and the kind of work that you do.
Where to start, really?
After that.
I kind of launched you into that, really, didn't I? Yeah.
I worked in IT for a long time, got background in IT support. Some years ago, I went to work at Apple. And
you actually worked for Apple?
Yeah, I worked at Apple for several years. And while I was there, I saw an opportunity for a more sort of IT-focused business support service for people that use Apple products and businesses that use Apple, because from where I'd come from in the IT space, there was an awful lot of very Windows focused IT support companies. But over the last 15 to 20 years, Apple's exploded onto the scene.
Absolutely.
Many people that were just consumers who bought the iPod, and when it really turned around in the late 90s and the early 2000s, fast forward to now, and you've got a lot of people who've decided to put Apple technology within their business, whether that's deployments of iPads and iPhones and Macs. Yet the specialist support out there is really lacking. And, I saw that opportunity, and a couple of years ago I decided to start Fruit Geek with that in mind.
Fantastic. No, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. This move away from the Windows environment into Apple has been incredible. Just sadly, or not sadly for you, I actually have 3 Macs and 2 MacBooks at home, not at work, at home, in my home office. I've no idea how to use any of them, but I've had them years, and I don't use Windows at all anymore. It has taken off. I think in the early days, people were reticent about Apple, one, because they didn't understand it, and everybody seemed to make products for Windows. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's not an issue anymore, really. You can almost any Windows product will run on a Mac anyway. There were Mac versions of them. Right. But also in the early days, again, Apple had a bit of a reputation for being incredibly good designers, but blimmin' expensive. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, I recently went out to the market to look to buy a machine, a faster machine. Mm-hmm. And I started, I thought, well, you know, a PC is going to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. And I started configuring it. And I went, I could buy a MacBook for that. I'm having a MacBook, so I bought another MacBook, basically.
Do you know, over recent years, other hardware manufacturers are actually rubbing their hands together because of Apple. Because of what Apple have done to the marketplace, it's actually enabled the other manufacturers to look at their premium products and say, well, we need to be on a par with them. And so it's enabled them to also produce a premium product, because there will always be a good user base for Windows products and PC based. But now they're what used to be quite cheap PC hardware now isn't so
it
cheap.
It isn't, no, absolutely. Yeah.
But it wasn't always simple for Mac users, because I've been a Mac user since, oh, I don't know, early 2004, I think. I got my Mac.
We sound like we're one of those meetings, don't we? I'm a Mac user. I first started using Macs when I left school, and I just fell into the wrong crowd. No, go on, sorry.
But you are absolutely right. The business, I mean, I worked in ad agencies in London for the kind of early part of my career, and the only people using Macs really back then were creative people. And then all of a sudden, they kind of latched on to the opportunity for people to download MP3 files on the internet and play music on their computers. And obviously they came out with the iPod, which really kind of just sent their business kind of stratospheric. But back then, you know, using Macs for kind of general day-to-day business applications, it wasn't always easy to do.
No, absolutely.
I mean, Office, for example, you had to have a special Office for Mac software package, correct, didn't you? Hmm. But now, I guess you've got 365 that you can just access.
Well, that's right. I mean, Office 365, it's been around for a few years now, and it's been available on the Apple platform. But it's probably only really recently, in the last year or two, where it's actually started to work really well. And now I'm actually quite a big advocate of it. Mm. Because I came from a Microsoft background in my earlier part of my career, I was always, you know, well in tune with Microsoft products and Office. So even when I transitioned over to using a Mac, when I started doing some design work and doing some freelance work, I continued to use the Microsoft product. It was a fully box licensed product, but in recent years, 365 has really opened out. But just going back slightly to what you were saying about it never used to be so easy, and that was partly to do with the late great Steve Jobs, in that, you know, he was very very single minded, very you know, had a great vision, and one of the things that separates Apple now and always will is that they make the hardware and they make the software. And Steve was a real driver behind this, that the biggest difference is the software. If you take a Windows license, you can apply a Windows license is like an open box. So any manufacturer can apply that license to their hardware, whereas Apple do not sell their software. You know, it's proprietary to their hardware. What that means is that it's very secure. And this is where the whole, you know, most people who know just a little bit about Apple, they go, oh, you don't need virus protection on the Mac and blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of born out of this. The hardware and software is made by Apple. It's a locked, it's a closed shop. You can't get into it. It's very difficult to break into. And therefore, it makes it secure.
But in an office environment, that made it very difficult back then to integrate it with applications that had been designed in the first instance for Windows.
But it's interesting, you see, because I'm old and my background is in IT. And before the PC, which I remember well, everything was proprietary. I mean, IBM had most of the market. IBM, you know, you bought stuff from IBM. There were a few plug-compatible hardware manufacturers, but, you know, that was it, like and Armdale and people like that. And then Wang and Digital Equipment Company, whatever platform you went, it was proprietary. So you ran their operating system. So with DEC, it was RSTS or whatever. And with IBM, it was MVS or VM or DOS VSE. So it was all proprietary stuff. It wasn't until IBM lost the plot over the PC and let it go, and Bill Gates took it on. And Gates was a software man. not a hardware man. Yes. Yeah? So he just wrote software for to sell on as many platforms as he could. You know, so many people don't understand that Microsoft have never been in the, well, they are now, but they were never in the hardware business.
Yeah. Yeah. And funnily enough, they come into the hardware space now.
Yeah.
Pitching very premium products.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, their Surface Pro is as much as a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, exactly.
It's effectively a tablet. I mean, it's a very good tablet. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, Apple products are my business, but that doesn't mean, you know, I don't know enough and I can't appreciate other technology.
Of course,
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Right, well, I think we should stop getting too geeky.
Really?
About kind of Apple and kind of and all of that side of things. Because I want to take James back to where you started, because the beauty of what you do is you are a trained Apple technician. So you started your life in an Apple store in Bluewater.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think his mum gave birth in Bluewater, really.
And you also worked in the flagship Regent Street store, which was actually their first store that they opened in the UK, wasn't it, I believe?
Regent Street was the first one, yeah. I did some training there.
So there isn't a lot about Apple and kind of how to kind of manage an Apple device that you don't know, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think I've got a very good idea of how to do it over most people. But I think what I really want to focus on is the wider context of the business. I mean, yes, I know Apple products. I've been using them for over 10 years. You know, I've worked at Apple, so not only do I get to learn about the products, how to repair the products, how to manage products and everything else, but I've got privy to the culture that is within Apple and what some people talk about, you know, oh, it's all, you know, this, like, it's a bit fluffy and you go to the Apple store and you've got all these technicians. Well, you know, they have a real culture there, and they look after their staff very well, and they train them in a very particular way. And I think that having some experience working at Apple, which, you know, I feel very fortunate to have had, because I know they're one of the hardest companies to get employed for, it really gave me an insight, not so much to the workings of the technology, because I've gotten a background in computing anyway, but the business.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know, the business, the culture they've got, why people choose to buy Apple products.
Yep.
And why people really are prepared to invest in them.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, what I realized that there's a big gap in the market, which is that it's great to have all this technology, but and if you've got your Apple ID and you're at home, you know, it's great, everything syncs up. But as soon as you take that into a business environment, it's not that straightforward.
Yeah.
And there are lots of other specialist tools and bits of software that you wouldn't necessarily know unless you started looking into it. And I kind of got, that's where it's taken me to.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And it isn't just in the office. Yeah, I got a massive problem at the moment, which I'll talk to you about later.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I can't access any of my iCloud stuff because Apple want me to use the password I first used in 1948, and I can't remember, in order to do something, and I've just locked out. Anyway, I'm not worried about that. But the interesting thing, as Martin intimated, in the early days, Apple products in a business context were mostly used in creative agencies, marketing agencies, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not true any longer. There's a whole range of different businesses. We are all Apple Mac in this studio, for instance, and this radio station runs off Mac equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, what are the kind of issues as a business that you see more and more coming up? And what are the kind of organizations that you primarily work with?
That's a great question. Interestingly, it's newer businesses, and it's a younger generation of business owners is what I'm seeing. Because if you rewind 15-20 years, like you've rightly said, businesses weren't investing in Apple technology unless it was for a specific need, which is usually a creative one. Whereas now you've got a younger generation who have been buying Apple products, starting their own businesses. And they're saying, well, you know, we like this product, it works well, we're going to invest in it in our business. So some of my best clients are companies who are just kind of getting to a maturity age of around 8 to 10 years. And because their owners set out the business and said, we like Apple products and we're going to invest in it, they've reached a point where they've grown the business and started to be successful. And because Apple equipment is very easy to set up and use straight out of the box, that's great for them. But as they've got to a business where they now start to need to think about their infrastructure, they're realizing that they haven't got they haven't got that in place for an Apple ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then when they go to other IT companies go, oh,
it's Apple.
It's Apple. We don't really do that.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's a really key
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. And it's interesting as well. And you've kind of nailed it there in terms of young people coming into the Apple environment. Presumably, a lot of them introduced from the domestic products like iPhones and iPads Exactly. and iPods.
Yeah.
So they've got used to OS X through the products they use every day. So an Apple computer doesn't scare them.
That's right, no. Yeah. And it should. The thing is, I hear on a regular basis, people go to me, oh, I'm a complete technophobe. I don't know anything about technical. I couldn't deal with one of those fancy Apple devices.
Mm.
And the whole ethos behind Apple is to make it so easy to use and so simple to use that anyone can use it.
Mm.
The whole thing is that it's not complicated. It's not technical. From a user interface point of view, it's very easy to use and get to grips with. That's what's made them so successful.
Yeah.
That really is.
So you're talking about, you know, as businesses scale up, they need to kind of create networks and all of that
exactly.
infrastructure to support their business.
Exactly.
That's the value that you add for business.
Exactly. And that's kind of where it draws back on my sort of like wider IT knowledge from when I used to manage networks and run a help desk and things like that, is that it's all very well and good if you've got, you know, half a dozen Macs and 20 iPads and iPhones in the business, but if they're not managed correctly, you've got, so many potential nightmares in terms of data being siloed in one place or another, not centralized. You've got people used with their own content on company devices. You've got GDPR considerations now as well, where you've got company data. How is that managed? Mm. You know, so you can cobble on for a while, but at some point you need to think, well, look, you know, we need to take this a bit more seriously.
And that's always going to be an expert job anyway.
It is, regardless
of whether it's Windows or
Mac. It is interesting. I bought a new MacBook Pro the other day and I fired it up and all of a sudden it started going, you can't attach this to iTunes because you've exceeded the amount. I didn't want to attach it to, I never even asked you. Yeah. But it obviously picked up my IP address and said, no, you've already got nine devices.
It would use your Apple ID to do that because the Apple ID is so central to the device.
Yeah.
You can barely set one up now without having to enter it.
Well, I'm not having a go because I'm an Apple fan, but this happened when I was ordering it through Apple. I bought the product direct from Apple online and I had to set up as a new customer because I'd always bought them from a local dealer before. So it said, set up an Apple ID. So I did. And then without thinking about it, I just set up an Apple ID. I just thought it's an account for buying it. And it went, you've changed your Apple ID for everything. Bugger. So I had to go around and change absolutely everything to the new one I just set up. Yeah, but you're right. But that's the point you're making, though,
that
isn't
exactly
it, James? You know, it needs managing.
Yeah.
Once you get over one or two devices, you need to start managing this stuff.
That's correct, And there are specialist platforms out there. The one I choose to use is called Jamf. And it's a company that's been around since the early 2000s, and it used to only exclusively work with Apple. It's for managing Macs in a business environment.
Right.
They now offer a great platform where you can manage all of your Apple devices for business. But that in itself is quite a complex platform. So that comes back to, you need a specialist person to actually understand that and put everything in place for you so that it's still easy to run your Apple on business in the future. Because what would happen is if you continue to add devices and it's not properly managed and you've not got security protocols and everything else you need as a business in place, it will eventually one day fall over. And when it does, it will be very difficult to
remember the first password.
And it will all rely on that. So to remove the need for personal Apple IDs and things like that, that's kind of what
I think the way the cloud is kind of opened up the opportunity for Apple users as well. It's just removed that whole barrier for me in terms of will it work on Mac or won't it? You know, none of that needs to exist anymore.
Sure.
But that's
not an issue anyway. I mean, having bought a new MacBook Pro for Amanda, it's Amanda's birthday this Sunday, and I bought a MacBook for her birthday. and she's always been a Windows user. And basically, in an hour or so, she'd swapped all the licenses quite easily from a Windows PC to a Mac without any problem at all and carried on working. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's not really a choice now of, I can't use it because of this, that and the other. Things have moved on. It's now a choice of, you know, do I like the brand?
Yeah.
You know, do I want a premium product?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, am I willing to spend it? I mean, when we come to spend is always a point for Apple. People are expensive. When you talk about it in a business context, you know, a number of studies have been done. One was done a couple of years ago by IBM where they had 3,000 of their employees and they gave 1,500 Apple Mac and they gave 1,500 a PC. And over a 3 year period, the total cost of ownership per Mac was less than the PC.
Yeah.
And the critical point of that was because the Mac users needed less hands-on support. More calls went into the help desk for the PC user base. And because of the amount of human resource that needs to go into running the help desk and all the troubleshooting, that put the total cost of ownership for the company up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So productivity is much higher if you're a Mac user. And it is a much more user-friendly system, isn't it? I think the operating system.
It's not only that, it has longevity as well. You know, you can keep using a Mac well past its sell-by date.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't update it to the wrong thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that because that's another side to the business. We run a repair business as well for upgrades and repairs, primarily for Apple Macs. And we're running a campaign at the moment called Make Your Mac Great Again.
All right. Okay. I wonder where you got that from.
See what I did?
Yeah. I see what you did there, James. That's cool.
I won't do my Donald Trump impression because my wife might be listening. She will cringe into the ground if I do it on air. But yeah, we do make your Mac great again because you should be able to get a 10-year life cycle out of a Mac if you look after it.
Yeah.
Yet we have Macs around between 2010, 2012 sort of age, perfectly good, but some of the later operating systems don't like the hard drives. So for a relatively inexpensive amount, you can put an SSD hard drive in an older Mac, put in some more RAM, put on the newer operating system, and, you know, you're going to get 4 or 5 years more out of your Mac. And that's probably going to cost you a couple of hundred quid versus 1,500. So, you know, that's another
thing. It was the Intel processor move that scuppered my Mac, I'm afraid, James, when they changed the processors. That was the end of
my from Motorola, cool. Look, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we've run out of time. James, if people want to find out about Fruit Geek and what you do, how can they do that?
The easiest way is to go to our website, which is all the W's, fruitgeek.co.uk. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter. We're very easy to find. Part of the reason we went for Fruit Geek is because we're easy to find.
Yep.
So if you Google Fruit Geek or Fruit Geek Bexley, because we're based in Bexley, you'll find us really easily and you can connect with us, you know, however you like. All the details are on there.
Fantastic. James, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Stay with us for the rest of the show. We've got another guest to talk to in a minute and we're kind of fast running out of time. You can do one email while Lynette sets herself to launch into her bit.
Okay. So a quick shout out for the Venues and Events Expo Southeast, which I know, Lynette, you exhibited at.
Absolutely, and we're there again this year.
And you're there again this year, and I went along. I really enjoyed it last year. It's on the 9th of May at the Kent Event Centre, which is Detling.
Yep.
It's 9 a.m. till 5 p.m, and it's a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, VAs, VAs, business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers. So venueseventsexpo.co.uk is the website to find out more information.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Listen, we're going to talk to the lovely Lynette.
Oh, the lovely Lynette.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the first time Lynette Wood of the Ashford International Hotel onto the Business Bunker Show. Lynette, welcome.
Thank you.
We saved the best till last.
Don't think so.
Welcome on the show. I guess the clue is in the name. Yeah, you work at a hotel.
I work at the Ashford International Hotel.
You certainly do. Tell us a little bit about what you do there and about the Ashford International Hotel.
So, I say I'm the Director of Sales at the Ashford International Hotel, obviously, which is in Simonwell Avenue. I am only been there since June of last year, so obviously quite new to role there.
Yeah, you've worked in hotels before that, though?
Yeah, I've worked in hotels for 18 years.
Right. She doesn't look old enough, does she?
Not after my joke earlier about being young. And I think I've worked there for 6-7 months now, and looking to really sort of boost the local community, really, and work with them in terms of the hotel and what we have to offer there at the hotel.
Sure.
Massive conference space, exhibition space, and also in terms of the events that we run at the hotel as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? As someone that's run events in the past myself, Kent lacks a good space for things like that, and the Ashford International is one of those prime locations that a lot of events get run at because of what you've got there, because of the resources you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we've got really great space in terms of you can have sort of 300 people for a dinner, you know, 400 people for a conference, and there's exhibition space, they've got their separate entrance area if they need to, and there's 179 bedrooms. So in terms of the space, you can also have people staying overnight, so it's great. And the fact that we're literally 1 mile from the Ashford International,
I was going to say, you're between this train station and the motorway as well, which is kind of perfect placement, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's what we really
want. And next door to Sainsbury's.
Next door to Sainsbury's. I pop over there for lunch all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. Favourite at the moment is a prawn salad. That's me, okay. My new favourite to go for.
Although they've also got an M&S food hall there as well now.
Oh, no,
as well.
It's a bit too far to walk though,
is
that
it?
One.
Yeah, you can't walk across the car park. No. Okay. Fair enough.
I've completely lost where I'm going now.
You know, I'm so sorry. No, I'm sorry. We were talking about the resources you have and the amount of people you can handle at the hotel. I've been involved in a lot of events that have happened there over the last few years. And one of the nice things is how configurable the hotel is. You know, I've been involved with events where we've taken the whole hotel, basically, you know, and we've had stands down the central aisle from the reception area, all the big rooms, all the breakout rooms. So it's a nice space to be able to configure for events, isn't it?
I think so. I think in terms of the Kent suite, obviously you can fit sort of the maximum capacity in there, obviously say 400 in theatre style, but it also has its nice Kent foyer area, which obviously is nice for you know, exhibition space or breakout space. And then you've got the Canterbury suite, which actually can break into three, so again great for that sort of breakout space if you needed it.
Yeah, so as director of sales for the hotel, what's your aim? Who are you gearing up at? Who are you trying to attract? And when you do space, is it corporate space or do you do weddings as well? You know, how's it work for you as a hotel?
So I think as a role of a director of sales, you're obviously selling the whole hotel, and that's not just down to the conference space or the meetings. We've also got spa and leisure, but obviously we sell at the hotel. Here we go. We're going to have a pool joke.
No.
Stop interrupting.
I just pointed at her. That was all I did. When she mentioned the spa, I just wondered how big their pool was. That was all.
20 metres. How is big it? Is yours?
It was 20 metres.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near 20. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. I've seen it. It's nowhere near 20.
My pool is 20 metres by 15 metres. He can't measure. My big problem is my pool's outdoors and yours isn't.
No, absolutely. Which is nicer. Very nice and warm in our pool because it's indoors.
So my 20 metre pool's outdoors and your 20 metre pool's indoors. Okay. Cool.
But we allow the public come to ours. I'm assuming you don't like everybody coming to yours.
I won't let Martin come.
Actually, he does. He lives opposite the little silver hotel on the Tenterden Road on the A28. He's available any summer evening from about 6 o'clock till 10 p.m.
Oh, lovely!
That's a complete and utter lie.
Morning swim before we go to the absolutely. Event,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves 6 a.m. That's his favourite time of the day.
When I'm on my way over to the Wilden Business Group meeting, breakfast. Anyway. Enough of that.
So, so in terms of obviously sales, you're looking at everything. But realistically, at what the moment we're really trying to grow is some of our banqueting business.
Okay.
So that's something that we're looking to grow moving forward. So
explain to me what you mean by banqueting business.
So banqueting business is something in terms of award dinners or charity dinners, Masonic lodges, those type of events that we'd really like to
grow. So I chaired the Ashford Business Awards last year. This year, wasn't it?
It was in November of last year.
Was it that long ago?
I know.
That's gone quickly, isn't it?
Absolutely. They've booked that again for this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just going to say, so we're back there again in
November.
Yeah, cool. See, she knows. I don't know where I am.
I'll send you a diary invite to let you know.
Oh, thank you. Where
to
I'm supposed to be. Yeah, so you're looking at doing more of that kind of work, that kind of banqueting dinner work.
Okay. We're always obviously after meetings, business, conferences, business, exhibitions, but that is something that we're really focusing on in terms of some banqueting business this year. I think over the years where things have maybe have changed or people have obviously moved on, but we have a great space at Ashford, as I say, great location. So we really want to grow some of our banqueting business. And we're looking to work with some charities along those lines as well.
and you can actually park there.
I know, we've got 400 car parking spaces.
I know. It does make a huge difference with things like that. You know, there are so many places that I go to, because I chair and MC a lot of these type of events. And you get there like 2 hours before the start, and you waste an hour driving around trying to find somewhere to park, which is always a pain. So, you know, without being funny, there are not many places in Kent where you can hold the size of event that you can at the Ashford International.
Absolutely. I think there's just a couple of venues, or we go to the Kent Event Centre, obviously, which is huge. Yeah. So,
but that's huge. I mean, that's just the other end of the scale, isn't it? And without being rude to them, it's not the kind of place that you do a lot of banqueting either. It's not really a banqueting type place. I mean, you can, but that's not really what it's designed for, is it?
No, not really. And obviously, we've got the bedroom space as well, so when you've had a glass of wine or two, you can just drop into bed.
Yeah, as opposed to up there where you can just lay in a field.
And a spa.
And a spa,
with
yes.
With a 20-metre...
With a bigger swimming pool than you've got, which is indoors.
With the same size swimming pool as me, but indoors.
But there isn't a lot you don't do, really, is there, at the hotel? Because I know on Brexit Day this month, the 29th of March, you've got something else happening at the hotel
as
well. I know,
Brexit can be the B word, obviously, in terms of it might be funny, but you can always come to comedy night at the Ashford International Hotel, so that will be absolutely hilarious on Brexit Day.
So this is an official comedy club night at the Ashford International Hotel, the original comedy club.
Yeah.
And you're doing, is it a two-course meal?
Yeah, two-course meal, and then it's three comedians and a disco, and it's a set meal. It's £28 per person. If you actually go onto the comedy club website and become a member, you can get it for £26 per person.
Which is amazing. So if you're a business out there that's thinking, we need to take the team out on a bit of a night out this month, what should we do? I can't think of a better night to do it on, actually.
Absolutely not. But also, if you can't do this month, we obviously do it every Friday of every month. So the last Friday of every month is available, and we do it all the way through the whole year. The only month we don't do it is August.
Fantastic.
And the other thing a lot of people do locally, because I'm always at the Ashford International enjoying their particularly fine coffee.
He does love a latte, don't you, a cappuccino.
Is people pop in to do business. And what you've recognised is, look, why don't we provide a more formal environment for you to do that? So you're launching something else this Wednesday as well, aren't you?
Well, tomorrow we are launching a networking event, an after six networking event. It's in conjunction with
After six in the evening?
Yeah. Not in the morning, you'll be fine.
Thank goodness for that, I can come.
So after six, obviously, and it's a networking event, and we're working with the lovely Martin from Supply My Business. I'm not sure if you know him.
There's always a drawback in there, but never mind. I'm sure we'll overcome that little drawback.
The FSB as well also involved, and MS Kent. So Maura Mitchell from MS Kent is also involved. Yeah. So there's the four of us. We're all trying to collaborate together and start a new networking event at the Ashford International Hotel. Would be great if you could register so we know how many teas and coffees to give everybody.
But it's a free-to-attend event. There isn't an awful lot of networking generally.
I was just going to say, there's a thriving, massive business community in Ashford, a massive business community, and not a lot of networking and not a lot of business events actually happen in Ashford.
No. So we've cottoned on to that, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, and I think what we really wanted to do, and it was great to work with Martin and Moira, obviously, and the FSB, was more about just, you know, people coming into the Ashford International Hotel. I know it's a big hotel and people know it's there, but when was the last time they came in? So that's what we really wanted to work with it in terms of them coming in, obviously, and doing some networking at the hotel.
And between us, we've actually got over 50 people booked on for that tomorrow evening as well, which is amazing. And
that's fantastic.
And we're not trying to detract from any other networking events that are going on. There's a thing going on at the Terrace tomorrow night as well, in Maidstone, for example. But the point is, people want to kind of network and do business locally. I don't want to have to get in my car and drive somewhere else. I want to do it here.
Absolutely.
And so it's about...
And what you said earlier is something I do a lot of, because I live in Tenterton, which is notionally part of Ashford.
Opposite the Little Silver Hotel.
Opposite the Little Silver Hotel, in front of a big swimming pool.
Have you got a swimming pool?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
We'll be around then.
It's a 20-metre.
Is it?
And basically... I actually use the Ashford International Hotel for loads and loads of meetings, and I always have, because it's a nice central place anyway, for the reasons I just said, between the railway station and the motorway. It's a nice environment to be in, and there's always plenty of room, and, you know, you can chill out there, and I quite often spend a whole day there just meeting people. So this networking event is tomorrow, yeah?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, cool.
From 6 o'clock. There is an Eventbrite booking page. As Lynette said, we'd love you to book on so that we know how many teas and coffees to make. Lynette and I will be knocking those out all evening with our little pennies, won't we?
Oh, well, absolutely, yeah. Well, sadly,
sadly, I can't come because I'm actually chairing the Grow Kent West Kent conference tomorrow as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At Brands Hatch.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. So, thank you.
We know where we'll be, don't we, Lynette?
Absolutely. So yeah. I wish you much success with that. And is this going to be a regular thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to do it once a month.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So I shall certainly look to come to the next one.
Well, we'll let you know if you're invited.
Well, thank you. I might compete. the sun will be out by then. We could swim outdoors.
We'll come round to yours afterwards for cocktails.
Yeah, okay.
That's nice.
No, we wish you all power to what you're doing, Lynette, seriously, because there are lots and lots of events that need to take place in the county and very few venues that have put the effort in that the Ashford International has to make it a venue that people want to go to. And you certainly have done that. So all power to you for doing that.
Thanks very much.
And it's something that we need. So, cool.
We need to talk about your logo as well, don't we? Because until now, it's been Q Hotels. But tell us, there's changes afoot.
There is changes afoot. So, yeah, Q Hotels was bought in September 2017 by a financial company. And obviously, over the period of time, they've changed a number of the 26 hotels to different brands. They haven't decided if the Ashford International is going to be a key brand, but they have changed the logo. So the key logo is the Ashford International Hotel. If you go to our new website, which is www.ashfordhotel.co.uk, you can see the new logo. And they have gone with the wheel theme, which is the rail theme, apparently, because Ashford is famous for rail.
It is a famous railway town. That is very true.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else while we're quickly talking about that. The old train sheds in Ashford have been bought and are being turned into the headquarters for Netflix.
I know.
Hot off the press. Absolutely. And funnily enough, for some reason, I Googled Ashford International Hotel the other day. And when you used to Google it, it was always a bit hidden because it had come up with all the booking sites first because it was a QI hotel. Mm-hmm. Bang, it came up straight away, right at the top.
And it's a very good website, actually.
Yeah, I really like it. We've had some lovely new photos. So, yeah. That was really good.
So, look out for the new logo. Don't be confused when you expect to see the old logo because there is a brand new logo, but it's still very much the Ashford International Hotel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is only one.
Fantastic. And there's only one Lynette Wood, and she's been with us today. Thank you, Lynette, for that. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Give us a shout for the website address again.
So it's www.ashfordhotel.co.uk.
Do check it out. Do check it out for your event. If you're getting married, holding an event, you want a banquet, or you want an exhibition or a trade show, talk to Lynette. Talk to the lovely folks there. I can tell you, I've done loads of events there. It's a great space to do it in. The staff are fabulous. They're really lovely people. And it's a great location to do it.
Get yourselves along to the comedy night on Brexit Day.
Yeah, have a laugh.
there won't be a shortage of material on that Friday. And actually, Lynette has very kindly done a special offer. If you mention Supply My Business, that two-course set meal with comedy and a disco, I can't believe you're doing a disco as well, you can actually get for £26 per person as opposed to £28 per person.
I know, exactly. Yes, give Louise a call. Louise is fabulous in our office at taking the comedy bookings.
Can you imagine Martin at a disco? Can you imagine that? In his white suit. Can you imagine that?
And okay, come along tomorrow evening to fabulous freebie networking after 6.
But let them know you're coming. So yes, they know that you're coming. How do they let you know they're coming?
What's they have to go to the Eventbrite page, obviously, and then it's after 6, so they should be able to find it. Or go to Supply My Business community page.
Indeed.
Fantastic. Lynette, thank you so much for that. That's brilliant. We're almost at the end of the show, and I've got a couple of things that are happening this week that I really need to tell you about. I'm running an event with Kent County Council on the 20th of March. That'll be Thursday, won't it? No, Friday.
No, tomorrow.
No, it's tomorrow. All right, it's tomorrow I'm doing that. It's Thursday I'm doing the West Kent show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's an employability event.
I'm glad you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't look at my diary until I'm supposed to be somewhere. It's an employability event at County Hall Maidstone, and you're invited to find out how businesses in Kent are benefiting from the pool of talent of people with autism and sensory disabilities. You're going to hear from forerunners in business on their experiences of employing people with autism and sensory impairment, and how it can benefit you, and how Kent Supported Employment can support you to become a more inclusive employer. There will be presentations from Microsoft, the education people, Ronnie Wilson MBE from First Step Trust, Paul Andrews, that's me, from Jobs in Kent, and from people with a disability who are in employment, and from employers who have employed people with a disability, telling you how they got on. It's a completely free event. It starts at 9:30 a.m. at Sessions House, County Hall in Maidstone. Do come along. There's free lunch as well. Last year, well, this is the third year we've run it. Last year we had 50 employers, and this year we expect more. So do come along to that.
We've had a tweet from your lovely team back at HQ.
Oh, I told them I was on at 5 o'clock, so they wouldn't listen.
Ah, well, they've said, tuned in and sounding great, Lynette. So,
bless them.
Oh.
Cool. Fantastic. Help us bridge the gap between school and business. As business owners, managers, join us and the FSB to inspire the next generation of talent on the 3030 programme. And the next event is on the 28th of March at the Haysbrook School, Tunbridge. Listen, if you want to find out about it, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30 and find out all about the 3030 programme we run, introducing young people to the world of work. So do check that out. But hey, we've just about arrived at the end of the show. I need to tell you about Friday's show and the lovely Amanda and her Business Bunker Extra show. It's at 11 a.m. on Friday. And this week, her co-host is Richard Bell, and her guest is Patience Ogbuno, who is an inspirational business coach. So do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra show, 11 a.m. till 12 a.m. on Friday with Amanda and Richard and their guest Patience. But that's it from us on another Business Bunker show. Thank you for joining us this week. A huge thank you to our guest, the lovely Joanne Osborne of Scarlet Financial Services. James Stockdale of Fruit Geek.
Thank you.
And Lynette Wood of the Ashford International Hotel.
Thank you.
A begrudging thank you to my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
He
doesn't deserve the plaudits, but we'll let him have some anyway.
Do you tell Amanda it's 20 metres long, or do you tell her the truth, by the way?
I'm not even getting into that argument. We will be back with another show next week, where we'll see you all at all the events that are happening around the county, at the Grow West Kent show, at the networking event at the Ashford International Hotel, at the supported employment event at County
Comedy
Hall.
Comedy night.
Yeah, and a comedy night, and everything that's going on. Do something. Go to something. Go to all of them.
No sleep till Brooklyn.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back soon. Enjoy your week, and thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker show. See you all soon.
Bye.
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 The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.